KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 7:06, we have a clear to partly cloudy sky, and it's 12 degrees above zero. We look forward to be partly cloudy today with a high near 40, winds southeast at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with a check of area and state news. The Atlantic Area Chamber of Commerce's Angels of Christmas, Gary and Lucy Newton, were honored this past week. The award was presented Tuesday by Cass County Health System CEO Brett Altman at the couple's home. The nominators said Gary and Lucy had spent thousands of hours in the hospital's auxiliary and volunteer at numerous other functions, like the First United Methodist Church Board, serving meals at funerals, rag bride committees, soup suppers, and numerous other fundraisers. It was also noted that the couple are always willing to step up to lead or help with any need. If you need food, Lucy will bring it with Gary by her side to deliver, and they often serve it. The Chamber and the community thank Gary and Lucy Newton for exemplifying the Christmas spirit all year long. The Iowa Department of Public Health today reports the number of Iowans hospitalized with COVID-19 continues to decline. Officials say 558 Iowans were hospitalized with the virus, down from 600 a day earlier. There are 114 patients listed in intensive care, and that's down 7 from the previous day. There were 76 patients admitted since 10 a.m. Friday, and there are 63 patients on ventilators. Hospitals in western and southwest Iowa report 36 are hospitalized, 13 are in an ICU, 5 were admitted since 10 a.m. Friday, and 8 are on a ventilator. The IDPH reports there are 392 new positive cases of COVID-19 as of this morning, for a total of 274,309 since the beginning of the pandemic, 227,669 total recoveries, and 3,744 total deaths. Of Iowa's COVID-19 deaths, 3,488 list COVID-19 as the primary cause, and 306 listed as a contributing factor. Health Department data shows 1,339,483 Iowans have been tested for COVID-19. Iowa reports a 14-day positivity rate of 12% and a 7-day positivity rate of 9.3%. There are 125 COVID-19 outbreaks among long-term care facilities in the state, and that's 2 less than the last report. There are 5,193 positive cases and 3,094 recoveries reported within those same facilities. The state reports a total of 1,137 deaths within long-term care facilities. Now, all test Iowa sites were closed on Christmas Day. They are scheduled to reopen on Monday. A reprieve from a devastating surge of the coronavirus across the upper Midwest has given cautious relief to health officials, though they worry that infections remain rampant and holiday gatherings could reignite the worst outbreaks of the pandemic. Johns Hopkins researchers say states in the northern stretches, the Midwest and Great Plains, have seen average daily cases drop in the past 2 weeks, with decreases ranging from as much as 20% in Iowa to 66% in North Dakota. Some epidemiologists believe the most compelling factor for most people who redoubled efforts to prevent infections may be that they experienced the virus on a personal level. Iowa churches adapted to this year's COVID circumstances on Christmas Eve. A few found larger parking lots for their congregations to gather and vehicles for the very local broadcast of a Christmas Eve service. The congregation of Central Presbyterian Church, a few blocks from the governor's mansion in Des Moines, for that matter, gathered outside on the church lawn. And Archbishop Michael Jackals conducted a recorded service at the cathedral in Dubuque.
Where COVID isolates people, reach out to them. And when the pandemic leaves people without food or money, help out. And not just at Merry Christmas time, but in March and May too.
One of Iowa's largest churches, the Lutheran Church of Hope in West Des Moines, has its service posted online, including the Christmas message from Pastor Mike Householder.
God is not intimidated by the darkness of 2020. His light overwhelms it.
Some churches Christmas Eve held in-person services that were also streamed on online. Well, Congressman-elect Randy Feenstra says it's time for the U.S. Department of Justice to address allegations of price fixing in the livestock industry. Feenstra says,
the packers, they're making all kinds of profits. So we got to change it. We got to break up the monopoly.
Four companies, JBS, Smithfield, Cargill, and Tyson, control more than 80% of the beef packing industry. And while beef consumption and consumer prices soared during the early months of the pandemic, profits did not trickle down to producers. The prices for cattle sold at market fell. Feenstra, who's from Hull and a Republican, says his in-laws raised livestock, so the financial reality, it's close to home for them.
It's just painful to see, especially when, live cattle is at $1.05 if we can get that now, and then you have boxed beef at, you know, high 220, 227, somewhere thereabouts.
Boxed beef is the wholesale price of cuts of meat. Veenstra, who hopes to become a member of the U.S. House Ag Committee when he's sworn into office on January 3rd, says it's time for Congress to examine the Packers and Stockyards Act. The law was drafted to assure fair competition and fair trade practices in the livestock industry.
That act has been on the books for decades. And we don't use it. And there is a problem. There's a massive concern.
The law was originally passed in 1921. A major update in 1976 gave the USDA authority to issue fines for anti-competitive practices in the meatpacking industry. Veenstra made his comments during a recent appearance on the Iowa Press program on Iowa PBS. Taking a look at our funeral announcements this morning on KJAN, Andrew Andy Jacob Redenbaugh, age 26, of Shelby, died Sunday in an accident on Interstate 80. The family of Andy Redenbaugh will greet friends from 1 until 4 p.m. Sunday at the Pauley Jones Funeral Home in Avoca. Janet Elaine Brammer, age 79, of Audubon, died Thursday at the Cass County Hospital. Funeral services for Janet Brammer will be Monday at 10 o'clock at the United Church of Christ in Atlantic. Hockenberry Family Care of Atlantic has the arrangements. Carol Brock, age 95, of Manila, died Thursday at the Manila Manor. A mass of Christian burial for Carol Brock will be on Monday at 10:30 at St. Joseph's Catholic Church in Erling. Pauley Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. That service will be live streamed on the Pauley Jones webpage. Marilyn K. Newell, age 75, of Gray, died Monday. Graveside services for Marilyn Newell will be Monday at 11 o'clock at the Gray Cemetery in Gray. Kessler Funeral Home of Audubon has the arrangements. You are asked to wear a mask at that service. Dayton Simpson, age 78, of Greenfield, died Tuesday at the Good Samaritan Society in Fontenelle. Visitation will take place from noon until 5 p.m. Monday at the Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield. Private funeral and Masonic services for Dayton Simpson will be held. Joe C. Pennington, age 70, of Harlan, died Wednesday at Bergen Mercy Hospital. Memorial services for Joe Pennington will be on Monday at 1 o'clock at Fresh Encounter in Harlan. Pauley Jones Funeral Home of Harlan has the arrangements. Francis Albert Kastner, age 96, of Yale, died Tuesday at the Guthrie County Hospital. Funeral services for Francis Kastner will be this Tuesday at 1 o'clock at St. Cecilia Catholic Church in Panora. Twig Funeral Home of Panora has arrangements. Marlis Claver, age 82, of Manila, died Thursday at her home. A celebration of life for Marlis Claver will be in the spring of 2021. Odie Funeral Home in Manila is in charge of the arrangements. Greg Festus Funk, age 68, of Lyman, died Thursday at his home. A private family graveside service for Greg Funk will be held at the Noble Center Cemetery south of Lyman. Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic is assisting the family. Jeffrey Darren Feltner, age 54, of Atlantic, died Wednesday at his home. Services for Jeffrey Feltner are currently pending at the Hockenberry Funeral Home in Atlantic. Bonnie Sherman, age 71, of Adair, died Tuesday at Iowa Lutheran in Des Moines. Arrangements for Bonnie Sherman are pending with the Hockenberry Funeral Home in Adair. And Marion Sint, age 78, of Oakland, died Wednesday in Gilbert, Arizona. Funeral services for Marion Sint are pending with the Reacon Beath Funeral Home in Oakland, assisting the family. That is a check of our news on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.